Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
As I begin this morning, I would like to share with you a great victory from the Lord. I shared this on Wednesday night because I was so excited. About a month ago, the Lord laid on my heart that we should try for another refinance of our building, of our mortgage. And I kind of wrestled with it. I thought, I don't know. I mean, we've already refinanced twice in the last 8 years, and it kind of didn't seem like it made sense, but I couldn't get away from it. It just stayed in my spirit, and so I said, okay. And on a Tuesday morning, the gals helped me, and we put together a couple of packets of information, and they called and made a couple of appointments at two different institutions here in town. And I went and held the appointments and gave them the information and said, Lord, there it is, whatever you want to do with it. Received a call from Bedford Federal, and they said, well, we just can't, we're a small bank, we can't make a loan that large, $2 million, and thank you, and that was it. I thought, well, okay, you know, I mean, obedience sometimes doesn't have a perfect picture to it. And then the next day, Hoosier Hills called me and said, we want to do it. I want you to hear, and you have it there in your bulletin if you bothered to pick one of those up. There's good information there, by the way. Our current loan balance is $2,005,701, some cents. Our new loan, because we also were able to sell the parsonage for $165,000. So we are applying some of the money over onto our mortgage. So the new loan will be for $1,980,000, or $25,000 less. The interest rate that we have currently is 4.75, and Hoosier Hills is giving us 3.75. Which means that our monthly payment, instead of being $14,630.50, will now be $14,544, or $86.50 less. It gets better. We currently have 204 payments left to pay on our mortgage. With the new financing, it will only be 180. So we are dropping two full years of payments. The savings will be $366,702. Praise the Lord. That means with the three refinancings that we have done in the last 8 years, we are saving over $2 million total. That's astounding. God is good. Amen. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. In seeking the Lord and His desire, I was planning to move on with our series on salvation, and the Lord just really put into my heart that we were to take a little different course this morning. The title of my message is The Way God Helps His Own. The Way God Helps His Own. How many believe that God takes care of His own? I truly believe it. Now, I am going to, in the beginning portions especially of this message, I am going to use things concerning the pandemic in an illustrative way. I want to establish right now, I'm not here today to convince you to be vaccinated, okay? So I hope you hear what I just said, because I want you to see something, and using this mess that we have had to deal with over the last year, something that concerns me and I believe concerns the Lord. I get very concerned when I hear the people of God mixing politics and spiritual things. And I'll tell you why I get concerned. Because the world needs Jesus. I said, the world needs Jesus. And the only way that they can find the Lord Jesus is if a Christian tells them. I think that, you know, I mean, if God would have asked me, he didn't, I would have thought angels could have done it a whole lot better. Dispatch angels all over the world, and angels could have told the gospel, and I would have thought, you know, with the purity of angels and everything, that they would have done a much better job than what we do. But he chose us. He said, those who are redeemed, I'm going to put the message of the gospel into their mouths. I want to anoint them and fill them with my spirit. And I want to drive the message home from them to a lost and hurting world. And that is his only method, is to dispatch the believers into the world. So then when we who are his people, who with in one moment are speaking the gospel and in the next moment are telling people a myriad of things by our politics and personalities and everything else, we are causing individuals to be confused as to where the gospel message ends and where our politics begin. I will start off by telling you this morning that the pandemic and COVID is real. I know this because I go and visit my mom, who is sitting all by herself now because she lost her husband to it. Tom Medina, one of our dear members of many years, lost his twin brother. It's very real, folks. This week, I went into one of our local stores and was told, we don't wear masks here. Never have, never will. Christian music playing in the background. Christian books filling the place. According to a February 2021 Pew Research study, 45% of white evangelicals say they will not get a vaccine against COVID. Now remember what I told you. I'm not trying to convince you this morning to be vaccinated. But what we are dealing with is this. Nathan French, who leads a non-denominational ministry in Tacoma, said he received a divine message that God was the ultimate healer and deliverer. I believe that. His statement was around that vaccine is not our savior. Lori Armstrong, a Bible-believing nutritionist outside of Dallas with a great following, she did not need the vaccine because God designed the body to heal itself if given the right nutrients. More than that, she said, it would be God's will if I'm here or if I'm not here. See, Christians with a voice, Christians with a following, Christians with people who are listening to them are confusing what God has given to us in a message to spread to the whole world and mixing into it other things, using our platform, if you will, to drive social issues, political issues in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, folk, I'm telling you this morning, I believe that God is grieved over this. You don't even have to believe me. I'm that solid in this. God is grieved when his people use the platform that he gave them to become controversial or to deal with social issues in place of spreading the gospel. I'd like to unpackage the truth today from the Word of God about how God ministers to those he cares about. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse number 14, the writer of Hebrews gives us some very pointed and exacting truth. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. That means separate. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance, rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. Verse 18, you've not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word would be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I'm trembling with fear. Verse 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You've come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. You've come to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You've come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on the earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning that we have these moments in your word. I pray for your help as I, Lord, try to be obedient to your design and desire for this wonderful congregation this morning. Speak into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Three statements here that the writer makes that, at least in the New International Version, come forth very clearly. The first is this, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Thomas Hewitt, in his commentary on Hebrews, describes this verse in this way. He says, true devotedness to Christ by any Christian community must bring harmony and holiness. Yet unless that community takes heed of the actions of its individual members, both may be destroyed. In other words, folks, you know, you say, Pastor, why are you taking our time to talk about these who are mixing politics and spiritual things together? Because it is my mandate. We have to deal with this not only corporately, but also individually. To recognize that it's not just the witness that we have corporately here that will have an influence on Bedford. It's going to be you individually walking out of this place and what gospel, what grace of God comes out of your mouth. The actions of each individual has an effect on the effectiveness of the whole. We need to realize that. In other words, what you say matters, church. Individually. No matter if it's on the internet or if it's by your telephone or if it's in personal witness, what you say matters. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. How will they know, Paul told the church at Rome, how will they know unless someone tells them? But I have to say even more than that, how will they know if someone confuses the message, the pure message of the cross, with nonsense? So, oh my goodness, this isn't nonsense, it's very serious. It is very serious. Those of us who believe, God has given us the message of hope. He has given us the message of eternal life. We hold it. And we decide who gets to understand the grace of God. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, sometimes I think we get confused. We think that because God gives us choice in some of these things, that takes all the weight off. In other words, I don't want to witness. I don't want to tell anybody about Jesus. It's uncomfortable. They might reject him. They may not want the message that I give. They may not like me. It's not my nature. Heaven and hell await for that individual. And many times, their eternal destiny is in our hands. You say, man, Pastor, that's an awful lot of weight. It is at a tremendous amount of weight, and he does not expect us to carry it alone. That's the reason why he sent his Holy Spirit. Many Christians today don't feel like they need the Holy Spirit. You know why? It is because they're not trying to witness. They're not trying to spread the grace of God to those who have never experienced his grace. Trust me, if you do nothing for God, you don't need God. It is only when you stand up for Jesus, when you make known for Jesus, that you need the power of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God in your life. Now, he says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. We, many who are in this room, you know Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And we have tied the grace of God simply to salvation. I believe that we are saved by the grace of God. But I also know by the word of God that his grace does not end at salvation. Every prayer that he hears is by grace. Every prayer that he answers is by grace. Every form of healing in the believer and the unbeliever, that cut that heals in your body, the grace of God. That broken leg that heals, the grace of God. That wound from surgery, the grace of God heals it. All of this comes from the grace of God. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. See to it that we don't shorten our understanding that God is ministering to lost people, people who are rejecting him, people who are cursing him this morning. God is still working in their life. Now, folks, that's grace. That someone curses you, literally spits out your name, and yet you continue to care enough about them that you heal their body. You say, oh, well, the body, it has the capability of healing itself. Who created it? Who gave the capability of our bodies to heal? I've told you this a long time ago, but Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 is the beginning of everything in the knowledge and understanding of God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created man on the sixth day. So whatever our bodies are able to perform came from him by his grace. When Adam and Eve sinned, God could have lifted off. He would have been fully justified to have made one of the punishments of their sin. You know, not only about tilling the earth and pain in childbearing and stuff like that, but he said, from here forward, your bodies will not heal. And he would have been fully justified to have done it. See, we forget all the things that God continues to do on our behalf. Every breath. Remember who the breath came from? God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And we sit here and we, how? By the grace of God. How is God's grace extended? Here's something that you may not have noticed in the Word of God. It's a very simple truth of how God deals with those that he loves. It can be phrased in this way, one for many. One for many. You see, we have that understanding in salvation, but God teaches us over and over again in his word that this is how he deals with his people. A single Passover lamb was slain for an entire house. The Israelites, when they came to the waters of Marah, and they were bitter, the Lord showed Moses a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. And 2 million people drank from it. Exodus 17, 1 through 7. The Israelites camped at Rephidim. There was no water to drink, likely over 1 million people. The Lord said to Moses, I'll stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out for the people to drink. He did it, and God answered, out of a rock, he brought forth water that gave all the people something to drink. You see, I don't want you to miss this. You say, well, you know, I believe that, you know, God does work, and he works in me, and he helps me, and his grace is extended to me. I want you to understand that God's grace will often be extended to someone else on your behalf. You see, God gives the knowledge for helping and healing the bodies and the wounds to certain individuals to help the many. Do you realize that all knowledge comes from the Lord? Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So every doctor, every nurse, every scientist, if they're wise, will turn in thanks to the Lord that he has given them the knowledge that they have to minister to others. Why did God do it? Because he cares for his people. You see, that's the reason why it's foolishness if we turn from doctors when the Lord has given them the knowledge to be able to help and to assist us. It's not an ungodly thing for you to go to your doctor. It is a God thing. It is an extension of God's grace to give knowledge to an individual, one individual, to help many. It's the way God operates. You know, just think with me for a moment. What if the people who were bitten by the snakes, remember the snakes in the wilderness? And when they were bit, they died? And what did the Lord say? He said, take one snake, make a bronze snake, and put it up on a pole, and everybody that looks on that bronze snake on that pole will be healed. Now, this is a community of a couple of million Israelites. I've ministered to people long enough that I know what some of those conversations were. Well, I'm not looking at no snake on a pole. Huh? I'm not going to do that. Guess what? If they didn't look at the snake on the pole, they were not healed. Because that was from God. That was an extension of God's grace to the people of Israel in the midst of their need. I'm not going to drink any of those waters. I've never had water out of a rock. Huh? I believe the reason that God's grace is extended to man in this way is to teach us the valuable lesson that God uses one to save many. He's teaching us a grace lesson. He says in verse number 16, "See to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau." Please hear me this morning. The church must take heed to any indulgence in sexual sins. You say, "Pastor, this is uncomfortable to listen to. It's uncomfortable to preach." I can think of a host of other passages that I'd like to deal with this morning and would love to see smiles on your face while I'm doing it. You see, the compromise with the world in areas of indulgence takes me back to the 1700s when the church was selling indulgences. People could come in and give an X amount of dollars and they could continue on in their sins. And can I tell you, the church isn't far from that today? We're not asking for money, we're asking for popularity. People could literally purchase the blessing of the church for the sins that they desired to retain in their life. And even though we stagger at it today, churches all over are selling sin for popularity. Sensual sins are overtaking the believers. Because of the accessibility of pornography, it's gaining ground as to be just part of life. And I'm not talking about out in the world, I'm talking about in the church. The deteriorating nature of sensual sin is changing our society and bringing acceptance of actions that have long been taboo, even among unbelievers. In other words, the church is embracing things today that unbelievers recognize to be wrong in years past. We've come a long way, baby. You see, God helps his own by identifying sin. I'm not going to move from that until one Christian at least says amen. God helps his own by identifying sin. He's not wanting to ruin your life. He's not wanting to keep you from having fun. He's not wanting to stifle you. But rather, he is wanting to give you life to its very fullest. He's wanting to keep us from the things that will rob us of his presence and communion. That's life at its best. Sin is identified by this precious word of God. It's no wonder that indulgence of sinful acts has crept into the church, because when the church began to question the inspiration of Scripture and to explain it away and explain away the long-standing truth, we lost our rock. People are voicing this with their lives, not just with their thoughts, they're voicing it with their lives, that says, "Oh, I know what that says, but we live in a different day. My, isn't that convenient?" church must take heed to those who care more about the gains of worldly pleasures in this life than the eternal realities of the unseen world. Listen to these passages. 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Paul says to Timothy, to those who will listen, have nothing to do with them. Let me move you to the last portion. Verse number 25. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. The lesson of the Israelites, God came down and shook the earth. The mountain raged with fire in his presence. They almost immediately failed to hear his words, and they made a golden calf to worship. They refused him who warned them on earth. The promise of the Father to his own is this: once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. You think COVID was huge? It's nothing compared to what's coming, church. This is the reason why I had to preach a message in this manner. Because things that are coming, you think we've been shaken over the last year. This is nothing compared to what is coming on this earth. There is a shaking coming. The only things that will remain are those that belong to God. If you care enough, read the Word of God. I thought it interesting this week. A large group of cardinals from the Catholic Church, or bishops from the Catholic Church, stood up questioning extending communion to those within their diocese who are proponents of abortion, saying they should be refused communion. The Catholic Church stands at a crossroads of decision. That never was never a factor ever before. The crossroads is this: will we be popular? Will we be accepted? Or will we stand where we have always stood for human life? Within the full gospel churches, people are chasing the most pleasurable experience. From church to church, they travel, looking for those teachers who will say and those churches who will do what they want. It's reality anymore. There are enough churches around doing enough different things that you can go around. It's like choosing flavors at Baskin-Robbins. Which flavor do we want this week? Instead of digging in. You see a lack in this church? Guess what? We can pull together and we can make it work. Or You can run off to some place that already has it in existence and do nothing. The most important thing is that we don't refuse him who speaks. When the Spirit of the Lord speaks within you, to be obedient to that Spirit. I asked last Wednesday night, will again this Wednesday night, what is the Lord speaking to you? What is the Lord saying to you? I've had the board and other people say, well, Pastor, you know, what about you going to individuals and asking them to do various ministries? No. No. People do not need to do ministry for me. They need to hear the voice of the Lord and stand up. Don't refuse the voice of the Lord, church. You're going to need his help. You're going to need his guidance. You're going to need his enormous grace over your life in the days that are coming. You think it's been difficult to live a Christian life in the past? It's going to be more difficult to live a Christian life in the future. As more and more things are called acceptable, where are you in your house going to draw the line? At what point do we say, no, that's not going to be in my house? That's not going to be in my life. Oh, well, the grace of God, you know, it covers over a multitude of sins. Absolutely. But are we going to spit in his face when his Spirit speaks to us and tells us that something is bad for our lives? Will we look around for someone else to say, oh, well, they do it? Or will we stand up and say, no, God's grace has extended over my life. And I care enough about him and the relationship to refuse the things that he calls sin. Now, I can tell you this morning, I can tell you this from experience. Moving past some things that his Spirit may tell you in your inner man may be difficult. You may find yourself calling upon him over and over again, not only for his forgiveness, but for his divine help to help you to be able to live this Christian life. What am I saying to you this morning? God, in his glory and his mercy and his grace, has brought us in and granted us a place in his kingdom. Now I believe he's calling for those who belong to him. It's time. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Get up. Stand up. Speak up. Live up. Put all the stuff away that may be a distraction to the real message that people need. Huh? Anybody? See to it that no one is sexually immoral or godless like Esau, that is not trading your spiritual life for the pleasures of this world. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Father in heaven, thank you this morning. It has been my purpose, my sole purpose, to be obedient to you. Lord Jesus, you have but one church. And your word proclaims that you're coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Master, help us. Help us, O Lord, because we're distracted. Help us, the Lord, to cleanse our minds and our hearts. To realize, Master, that you are extending your grace to us in area after area after every area. And God, may we not step on your grace. Help us, O Lord, to recognize sin for sin. If it was sin, it is sin. If your Spirit speaks into our lives and tells us that we should not be on a course, may we change our course. But I pray, God, that you would call the church to account. And let us leave all of the myths and all of the junk and concentrate on the message that you gave us. As the Apostle Paul said, I know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Lord, help us in the day that we're living. Help us, O Lord, to see to it that no one misses your grace. Congregation, would you stand with me, please? I need to ask if there is anyone here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Savior. You've never allowed Him to be the Master and the Lord of your life. I would love to pray with you. There's no greater joy than to be leading someone to eternal life in Jesus. As the crowd is moving in that direction, if you come in this direction, either myself or one of our elders will meet you here, and we will pray with you and believe with you that Jesus will forgive your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and make a plan to take you into heaven. Why would he do that? Because of his grace. Marvelous grace. If you need a healing in your body, nothing magical about us, just obedient. He said, if there's any sick among you, call for the elders of the church and they'll anoint you with oil and lay hands upon you, and the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. We'll be obedient to that this morning. You just come down here to this altar before you go out those doors. We would love to pray with you and believe with you. You are, church, the ambassadors of Christ. You have the message of hope and love and peace and joy and the grace of God. As you go from this place this morning, take that message with you. May it be in everything you do. Oh, hear me, please. I'm not talking about that every post that you have to put on Facebook is some sweet saying or something like that. Sometimes that gets overwhelming. Just don't undo. Don't undo the mercy and the grace of God that He has extended to you by picking up and joining these other things, and realize that God is gifting individuals to help you in your life. That's the way He works, one for many. So don't despise other people's interjecting in your life with God, because that's the way God works. It's His plan. Just thank Him and praise Him for His incredible grace, incredible mercy. Again, if you need to know Jesus or you want to change your walk with Him, we would pray with you in a heartbeat. If you need a healing and you want someone to pray with you, come on down to this altar. But I want to pray a blessing and you'll be dismissed this morning. And thank you so much for being in church with us. It's not always this heavy, but sometimes it needs to be. Father in heaven, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for your word. May your hand rest upon each and every person. And Master, those that you have appointed in our life and in our community and in our world to extend your grace to us and to bless us, may we receive it, and we receive it from you and give you thanks. I thank you for all of those, Master, who minister to our lives. Thank you for your incredible grace. Now go with us. May this be a magnificent week. May lives be touched and changed because your church is going into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us this morning.